Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, he was the Packers vice president. He's a columnist for MMQB, host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew Brandt now joining us. Andrew, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bill. It's a little weird not being involved in the Packers head coaching search. I was involved in the last two.
Yeah.
With Mike Sherman and Mike McCarthy, although that was, as you know, a long time ago. McCarthy was 13 years ago by now. Jeez.
It is a little surreal because I was listening to Mark Murphy talk yesterday, and I kept thinking to myself as he talked about the process, he'd never done this before, because when he got here, Mike McCarthy was already in place. Bob Harlan had set everything up. So for all of this to go down, he talked about the process. So I guess your first reaction to hearing that Matt LaFleur is the new head coach of the Packers.
Well, I did what everyone, his resume, and sort of found out more about him, which, of course.
Let's do this. Andrew's in a bad area or has a bad cell signal because he's cutting out. We're only getting like one word every 5 seconds. So let's do this. We'll get him hooked up again. Must be a bad cell area or something like that. So let's do this. We're going to go ahead and get him taken care of. Hang in there because Andrew's got a lot to say, obviously, and we want to make sure that he gets in on all of this. Taking your reaction as well, as many of you have chimed in when it comes to the Matt LaFleur hiring. This one's from Mark. Mark writes, I really liked what LaFleur had to say. He seemed genuine and real. He also had some emotions. I like that because as many emotions come out when you're feeling excited, you're also going to feel angry, and I can't wait to see him get into somebody's rear end on the sideline. I think that's going to be part of who he is. He's a guy that wears them on his sleeve. It's going to be good to see a new head coach finally walking the sidelines at Lambeau Field. This one's from Kim. I like what he had to say. I like that he's a family man. I think he's going to be a good fit for the community, but the biggest question is he going to be a good fit for Aaron Rodgers? I don't know yet, but being a guy that wants to get into the rear end of a quarterback and doesn't have a problem doing it, I think this is all going to work out. Fingers crossed. That is from Kim. Mike writes in the Wendy's email inbox, I'm not quite sure about this hire. Seemed like a very young-looking guy, a guy that looks younger than Aaron Rodgers and only has a couple of years on him. What is the respect factor going to be? We talked about that yesterday when we got into that discussion. Look, he comes in with an inherent amount of respect already. You know, once he's there, you just get it. I mean, you know, and it's what you do after the fact, once you get in the door. Rejoining us now, Andrew Brandt. Andrew, a little bit better?
Yeah.
There we go.
I was talking about LaFleur, and obviously the resume is what people are looking for right now, which is kind of a guy in his late 30s, early 40s, someone that has some experience coordinating. Offense seems to be the preferred side. And then, of course, you link in Kyle Shanahan and Robert Griffin's best year and Sean McVay and Atlanta and their great years under Shanahan with that offense. It all kind of makes sense. Of course, you're going to have to answer. He's only done it 1 year, and it was the Titans who weren't the greatest offense. And all those things will come into play. But he fits a lot of boxes, does Matt LaFleur, and I think that's what they were looking at.
So the biggest question is, being a younger guy that's only a few years older than Aaron Rodgers, I've been saying all along, look, he comes in with inherent respect. It's not like he has to earn something right away. What he has to earn is additional trust and additional respect. But as the head coach walking through the door, you already have that, right?
Oh, I think you do. And I think anyone who says you're not going to respect a head coach, whether he's 31 years old like Sean McVay or 39 like Matt LaFleur, of course they're going to respect that. It was interesting to me that Aaron called him before, I guess, pretty soon before Mark Murphy called him. That just tells you that that's what Aaron's involvement. A lot of people were asking me, is Aaron going to be involved and is he meddling? Listen, I thought there was no way Aaron was going to be involved in the interview process. But when they had that guy in mind, then he'd give him a call. And it's exactly what happened. And I just think that's where the role of the best player and the most signature player of the franchise comes into view.
I completely agree. I saw them do that when Giannis and company took over with Budenholzer and the Bucks, and I thought the exact same thing. Don't make them a part of the process, because it's difficult when a player says, hey, I gave you my stamp of approval, therefore they feel that they have some kind of superiority over your job, as opposed to, hey, this is our guy, go ahead and get to know him and let us know what you think, that type of thing.
Exactly. And listen, he is an important cog in all this. I mean, listen, he's got the biggest contract in the history of the sport. He's the best player on the team. He's the most important player on the team. And he plays the position which Matt LaFleur interacts with most. It's not like he's a defensive-minded head coach. So all of that has to be in play with Aaron Rodgers. That relationship is going to be so central to everything going forward.
Talking with Andrew Brandt, the former Packers vice president, columnist for the MMQB, and host of the Business of Sports podcast. So with as much that's been said about Matt LaFleur, now the question becomes his staff. Give me your thoughts as to how you think Mike Pettine did this year.
Yeah, again, I was not obviously there and I saw it from afar, but it just seemed like the defense overcame a lot of deficiencies due to injury. And I don't know what it is about injuries with the Packers, but they seem to lead the league, especially on the defensive side. And I thought Pettine had a hard-nosed defense, and I really was impressed with some of the play of the line, and it seems like Daniels and Clark are really Pro Bowl-type players. And then what they got on the back end, too, able to move on from Ha-Ha and not miss a beat, as I saw. And, of course, they're going to save money not re-signing him. They can apply it towards other things. And I think they really got some young corners that are going to grow in King and Alexander, and that's where, you know, the strength of this team hopefully will be, these young corners developing.
Now, there's a couple of areas you touched on, and I wanted to get right to it with you. So Aaron Rodgers' contract, biggest in football. We know the money that's due come March. How flexible does this contract allow the Green Bay Packers to be?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer, Bill, because, you know, I managed Brett's contract when I was there, and I never wanted to let a big contract, and Brett's was the biggest in football at that time, hinder anything we did. So listen, Russ Ball now, me back in the day, that's our job. So football, go do what you're going to do. We'll handle the contract. Now, as you know, Green Bay's never been a very active free agent team and not having to fit a lot of big free agent contracts in. But it won't be an issue because that's the job. I mean, listen, the other part of the Packers beyond Aaron's contract is they have a lot of rookie contracts. So the rookie contracts balance out the superstars. So I think they'll be fine, and who knows how active they'll be in other big contracts.
That was going to be the next question. Now, Brian Gutekunst, yeah, the general manager, has talked about, well, you know, hey, they've got to dip into free agency. Obviously, they're going to do their due diligence in the draft, but there's going to be a few guys out there. I don't think a lot of big pass rushers are going to be out there, but there's going to be a few guys out there they're going to want to pursue. The philosophy being, do they go after a couple of the big-name guys, or is this kind of that shotgun approach? You try to get as many pieces as you can to fill in the holes that you have for as little money.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think the Packers get a bad rap in terms of they're kind of completely on the sidelines in free agency, which, as anyone listening knows, that's not true. Actually, they've signed the biggest tight end in free agency now 2 years in a row. And, you know, maybe they won't be signing the, pick a name, DeMarcus Lawrence, or whoever's going to be that huge number out there, Chandler Jones, but someone we don't really talk about, someone that's going to be a nice addition to the team on a medium-sized contract. So we've heard from Brian. He'll be active. It's just defining what active is.
We heard yesterday Mark Murphy talk a lot about the process and about what they went through. And I said coming out of that press conference, make no mistake about it, this is Mark Murphy's team. It just sounded like he was the guy. And it's no longer going to be a general manager at one end, a head coach at the other. He's kind of stuck in the middle. It certainly sounds like he has wrapped his arms completely around this organization. How do you like the setup? Because that's not the way Bob Harlan wanted it.
Well, I guess I'm going to disagree a little bit that this is going to be very different. Yes, Mark was involved in the hire and the fire of Mike last month. But I just think it's going to be pretty hands-off from now on. In other words, Brian goes and gets his players and handles the draft, and Matt coaches the team. I just don't see Mark Murphy or the board or the committee or anything like that getting involved in football operations, which is the way it's been since certainly I was there in 99 when I came, and before that when Ron came in 91. you know, it's Bob Harlan was hands off, and I think Mark Murphy is generally hands off. Now, if there's a hiring or a firing, the big things that just happened, he's going to do that probably more actively than Bob would have. But I just don't see any kind of meddling from Mark going forward, other than the fact that he's the boss.
I see. I completely agree. And people here are so panicky because that's not the way it was when Bob Harlan left. And I also say, hey, look, Ted Thompson was kind of the guy that created the situation that was needed now, because things got so segregated inside 1265 that, you know, things were happening. Mike McCarthy was being told by the media that they had just acquired somebody and looked like a deer in the headlights. So I see why the necessity was for Mark Murphy to wrap his arms back around the organization.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Listen, I was there, and I tried to be a bridge between the football side and the business side, and sort of that back and forth. That was kind of my role, and I guess that's kind of a role that Russ Ball plays, where you're kind of half in football and you're half in business. And, you know, that was essential when I was there because Bob was very hands-off. And now it seems like, you know, Mark's trying to be a little bit more of a fulcrum point as well as Russ in that role.
Andrew, it's always great to talk to you. You going to be at Super Bowl this year?
I am, just for a couple days.
Okay. Well, make sure you stop by and say hello to us on Radio Row if you get a chance to, okay?
Will do, Bill.
Thanks,
always
pal.
A pleasure.